Hi, I'm Justine.
And I'm Sarah Lavon.
And we are so glad you're here.
We believe that your life has the potential to make a deep, meaningful impact on the world around you. You, as a nurse, have the ability to add value to every single person and patient you touch.
We want to inspire you with resources, education, and stories to support you to live your absolute best life, both in and outside of work.
But don't expect perfection over here. We're just here to have some conversations about anything birth, work, and life, trying to add some happy to your hour as we all grow together.
By nurses, for nurses, this is Happy Hour with Bunzel Birth Nurses. Going down memory lane, I'm trying to think of,
I love memory lane.
Memory lane. So it's 2019 when Sarah and I met. And a lot of you know the story. I stalked her on the internet. We got together, spent the night at her house the first time we met, and the rest is history. But after physiologic birth and when the big C word shut down the world, we were like, what next? And that's when mentorship was formed. That's when I got a job. That's when I was doing social. And it was like, I'd always had new nurses and new nursing students on my mind. And Sarah always wanted me to have them on my mind, but I couldn't, I don't know. I haven't done anything with that yet besides Instagram, right? I haven't done anything. So something's coming and we want to talk to you a little bit about it because I'm nervous as heck about it.
It is time. It is time, Justine. The time has arrived.
I'm not a live teacher normally. I like to have my notes and I like to teleprompt, and I've written and taught a class once and it was in Cancun. So 325 people, or actually it was 150 because it was a breakout session, got to see it, and I got to do it in an N95. So this one should be a little easier than that. Cancun. So I have been spending my time creating a basic fetal monitoring live class. And I'm pretty pumped about it and pretty nervous about it. And I'd love for you to come hang out if this is something that you need. But we're going to do two fetal monitoring episodes this season. The first one being right now where you're listening to, so don't leave. And then the next one coming is going to be all about category two. And being friends with Jen and Heidi, who are educators with us here at Bundle Birth Nurses, I am learning more and more and more and more about how it is not taught well across the United States, and babies are getting injured slash dying because we are not all speaking the same language. Jen taught me that there are 157,000 birth injuries a year, and a lot of those are related to Pitocin and mismanagement. And I just, it was more on my heart to we need a baseline. And I don't think money is spent on basic fetal monitoring. Usually it's just whoever is in that position or whoever wants to throw a slideshow together is going to teach the new grads, or you got it in nursing school and just learn on the go. But the person that's teaching you took one class 30 years ago and now is just winging it. So I think it has to change.
And I think a lot of times it's we're doing it as a requirement versus really understanding that any kind of learning is an investment into our ability to keep families safe, hopefully. And again, fetal monitoring, whether it keeps families safe, in some circumstances it does. And of course, there's that debate, which is another whole world for us to go into later. But I think that piece of just shifting our mindset around education, particularly to fetal monitoring, I'm sorry, as much as we'd love to do IA, so many patients don't rule in for it. And they have one D-cell and they're back on continuous. And this is our whole lives. The entire shift, you are watching a tracing while doing a million other things. And so as a baseline, not only obviously we preach physiologic birth as a baseline, but fetal monitoring, we're not going to get away from anytime soon. And so it's we have to sort of accept the fact that and take it upon ourselves that I better know my ish. If I'm going to know anything about labor and birth, fetal monitoring is one of those baseline things that makes so much sense. And that's also why we have a whole complex class in our mentorship program as a part of it. But that's not enough. So I also think that we did that for mentorship. And I think that we've talked about putting it on sale or getting it out there, but it's not the same as a live class. And yet you also it sort of fits in the world of mentorship for right now. So I think there's a world in which it all of a sudden is available, but it's sort of you need the basics to start. Then you take that class and then it's you pass your fetal monitoring certification, CEFM, certified EFM person class. Stay tuned on that one.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think about, like, you expect tele nurses how to read a cardiac strip.
Yeah, you would hope.
Right. So, like, we expect you specialized. You chose to specialize. And I hope you didn't choose to specialize just because you hated med-surg. Like, you chose to specialize to better advance obstetric care, better advance our outcomes, then be good at it. Decide you're going to really do it and learn it. And so, yeah, this one is for the peeps that need basic. And so if we're going back to basic, in 2008, a group of people got together, and there's only one nurse in that group, which I have friends that are bitter about, but they got together. It was NICHD. And they made terminology for us so we can all speak the same language. Because I guess before 2008, and I wouldn't know because I was a graduate of high school that year, they did not speak the same language when it came to fetal monitoring. And so now we do, for the most part, speak it. And we go with, in the United States, we go with our three tiers that are, Canada also goes by three tiers, but they're a little different. We go with our normal baseline rate. We know what our D cells are. And so that the goal of this class is that we all understand what the NICHD language is and how to defend it, because there's a lot of, like, if I hear like, but it's only a subtle late one more time, I'm just so frustrated. I'm like, but it's a late. So it's telling you that there's transient hypoxia. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
Well, and I think that goes to show too, that like somewhere in there, we have separated our brains from like, the tracing as like this like paper thing is like, I must read, I must chart on, I must look at and identify what's going on and go up the chain. Like it's like this robotic sort of like to-do check off versus actually asking what's going on and what does it mean? And I think quickly you're like a variable, cord compression, elite, like I would say interruption in the blood flow likely at the placental level or whatever, you know, like not quite like you think cord or placenta or like perfusion piece, but it's sort of like, wait a second, let's think big picture and let's actually consider the like whole patient or like a patient assessment and all of those things. And so I think we have to somehow merge the two. And I know that there's many of you that are doing that, but I also, I mean, I literally see it at the bedside of like, and we see this also, everyone, we're ignoring things like the subtle late of like, oh, it's just a this. And mind you, some of them are just a random variable, right? And that's not terminologies, but like there is a random variable that is a just, but like a rando that's there. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. But the rest of it overall, can I rule out metabolic acidemia? Yes, I can. But when I say that, am I actually thinking like I can rule out metabolic acidemia and I know exactly what that means for the two mom and baby working together in their oxygenation of their, likely their brains, you know?
You will not learn any of that in this basic class.
That's fine. That's fine. But I also think that there's like a lot of experienced nurses that are maybe like basic isn't appropriate for them, but they're like, I am ready for that other way of looking at fetal monitoring, right? So as we're looking at the like big picture of fetal monitoring too, that like, can we start thinking about what's actually going on? And the only way to do that is if you have the basics, there's not one single way that you're questioning it. Right. That this has to be memorized. Right. And there needs to be a reference tool, which by the way, a badge buddy is coming for it so that you can have that on your badge with all of these little quick tips and definitions and all of that. But in the meantime, if you don't have that and you couldn't be quizzed on the spot, ready to go, then start with a basics class and then build your way up into the next levels. I'm excited to take your class.
I'm not excited for you to take the class. Oh. You always make me so nervous.
Whatever. You know I'm going to take the class even before you actually teach the class. So
no, still nervous.
By the time I'm there, I'll just be cheering you on and be that friendly face, because I will say to teach online to a bunch of like dead faces, no offense to everyone in the audience, but like everybody kind of looks dead at one point where you're like, are you okay?
Or like, black screens.
Oh my gosh, black screens is the worst. At least I usually, when I teach physiologic birth, there's like usually somewhere around 300 in that room, but like maybe two pages worth of screens. And I always lock in where like I have my people by the end. And so like watch your face when you're on her class and like just like give like the soft like, oh, yeah, wow, I'm so interested. Even if you're not, Just
even if you're not
kind face,
even if you are. Yeah. No, to be totally candid and real. And if anyone I work with is listening to this, this will be the first they hear it. I was teaching, I did like a little CEFM series for us because now HCA is requiring CEFM for all their nurses. If you didn't know that and you work for an HCA, it's coming. And I canceled all of them because the first one was so bad. There was no screens. I would ask a question and like no response. And I told my manager, I was like, I cannot do that again.
Yeah.
I can't. I cannot do it. Like and luckily I have a manager that's like, yeah, don't do that. That's dumb. Don't waste your time. And I just canceled. And I was like, I can't do the rest of the series. It wasn't worth like the energy that I felt coming out. I was like, I feel awful. I don't want to do that ever again. Oh, no pressure.
No, but I think the audience just like having an awareness of what it's like on the other side. Yeah. I mean, remember my first physiologic birth?
Oh, she was comatose. No,
I
the right word, but
dissociated.
Yeah.
I had like a trauma response. Like I was like, everyone around me was like, she's not okay. Oh my gosh, what can we do? And I like cried. I mean, because there's no, up until that point, I taught like mostly, well, I'd only taught live. And then I taught mostly like childbirth classes and then like nurses on the floor, like a nurse's day, or I'd done like a little bit of like conferencey stuff, but not really. And holy moly, it is a different beast to teach online.
Yeah, it's not.
And for 8 hours. Good. So it's going to be so good.
It's so good. I'm like, never mind. Rewind.
No, what I'm saying is like, what a beautiful challenge as you up-level yourself in your profession as an educator, as an influencer, and imparting all of your knowledge and your like just down-regulating personality on the world through the class. The good news is the class is 90 minutes, right?
Yes. Quick and easy. And a lot of that's going to be interactive. We'll spend the first time learning basics. You will have a workbook to follow along with. And then there will be, I want you guys to be able to practice not only charting strips, but giving an SBAR to providers/charge nurses/ whoever you need to talk to if you're feeling concerned about something. And so that is the goal there. I want you to walk away feeling less like you don't belong. I think imposter syndrome feeds on not admitting what we don't know. And with fetal monitoring, like that's like a scary part when you're new or coming into it. It is a new language. We get like zero of it in school. You might have learned HUF or veal chop. There's so many little acronyms now. My new grads tell me, I'm like, what is that? But there's little things that you learn in your little bit of OB training that you have, which is getting less and less, by the way, because the NCLEX is asking less and less OB questions. So they're kind of cutting out a lot of it. So that's unfortunate too. And know that, also just side note, we know that. As people on the floor, like we know you're not getting much and we know you don't know anything when you come, and okay, just bring your heart and your desire to like do well and we'll get there. But yeah, you got to know the basics to stand up to things and then you can build on it, like Sarah said, and then come back and listen to Heidi's episode, which is coming out in a few weeks on category 2 and like why we're doing the poof interventions, I think it is, like pit off, oxygen, flip them, fluids or something. Do you know that? Poof?
No.
I only know that.
It's fixed.
It's fixed, right? So anyways, why we're doing those interventions. And then you can talk like the way you heard Sarah talk earlier about like bigger picture. And you're like, what is she even talking about? That all starts to build and make sense when you start like inputting the information. It's not going to all make sense day one.
So if I was a new nurse and I was like going to my first day, but I also had some time to prep, which all of us did. Like I know I read like an entire perinatal nursing book before I started my first day. That is my personality in a nutshell. And so I'm going to the floor for the first day. Justine, from your perspective, what are the nurses expecting of new nurses that don't have experience in OB, like strictly related to fetal monitoring? What should they know going in and how do they prep them? Obviously, this class is like the filler for that. So like, no, we'll do all of that work for you. But like to give a frame of reference for our new people, like what would you expect them to know?
I think that's really nuanced based on where you work. Because I think there's people that walk in and they're like, not you at all. And they're like, oh, we monitor the heart rate versus you read the whole textbooks, right? So I think maybe by end of shift one even, I think you should know that we do monitor the heart rate and that's a lot of our job is chasing baby and charting on the baby. And when we say chasing baby, you're adjusting heart rate all the time. It would be great if you can like look at you come in, look at the strips and you know, oh, baby's on the top and contractions are on the bottom. It would be great if you knew like usually, and I think in most, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've been to more hospitals than I have, but is there that line to show the baseline? Like, is there like a darkening in most like you know what I'm talking about? Like the baseline 110 to 160. There's like
a shade. Yeah. Like a, yeah. This is within normal range.
This isn't normal. I feel like that's normal. But like, you know, that shade is like, okay, baby's heart rate is within normal. I think that you could,
I mean, know. At least you could know what the normal is. Like what is a normal fetal heart rate
so baseline? Put it in your brain. 110 to 160 is normal, no matter the gestational age. That's a trick question sometimes on these tests. And you know that the contraction pattern like happens during a contraction. There's no oxygen going to baby during too many contractions, but we need contractions to labor. And because you know that contractions affect oxygen, you can gather that the heart rate could be changed if there's no oxygen. If you just have like a general realization of that, and that's even a little bit more deep, but really think about the only language baby can speak to us is their heart rate. And the only thing that they can do to regulate their blood pressure and to make sure their vital organs stay safe is going up or down in their heart rate. Mm-hmm. And so they're very smart and they compensate well, but we are just there to respond to the cues and clues that they're giving us, but it's not always accurate. 33% of category 3 are like actually come out with bad outcomes. So that's 67% are okay. And cat 3 is like bad. Like you barely see cat 3.
You better move.
Yeah. So there are categories. There are things that we're looking for in the heart rate. And also you have like so many knowledgeable people around you that you can ask and go to, and they want an expectation on day one and week 8 even is that you're concerned. We expect you to be concerned. And like, we expect you to be on your own freaking out about this trip. And we're like, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you're fine. You're fine. And maybe by year one, we're like, okay, like you gotta... But we know that even when you're off orientation, like you're going to be anxious, and we were too. So anyways, I'm nervous about it. It's going to be June 12th around 3 p.m. I believe, if you're not doing anything and you want to hang out. But writing classes is not easy. And I think it's because one, I have Sarah to compare to, which is challenging. So Sarah, I need all the advice. Sarah, I need all of the advice.
She inhaled her tongue in her nerves. I'm just kidding. I'm so not intimidating.
But
I'm here. I am your ally.
You are my ally.
I'm cheering you on.
But also, we've been to so many like bad classes and we don't like to waste anyone's time.
Yeah.
Fair. So I think those two things are always lingering of like, you want them to walk out with nuggets and being like, yeah, that was worth it. That was worth my time. Because honestly, we are busy people and your time and money are important. And
can I tell you my pet peeve when it comes to classes? You may have heard this before, but like, let me call it my pet peeve. Do you know what it is? You're going to be like, oh, Ilda.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know. Say it.
Well, it's when you go to a class and somebody talks at you and then they're like, and there you go.
Versus, like, and now what?
And now what? Give me the now what? Tell me what I need to do with it. Like, I'm here to learn. I want to apply. But like, and luckily, like, yes, I'm a smart person, but like, what? You're the expert. You're talking to me. Like, what do you want me to do with this information? I realize that a hemorrhage is this much with an EBL or a QBL and when you should do either one. And ideally you're doing Q all the time, but like, I understand that, but like, what do you want me to do? What practice change? What are your tips for me? Like the practical piece, you will see practical everywhere. And anytime I'm auditing a class, anytime I'm helping people develop a class, anytime I'm making a class myself, it is like, here's the knowledge, here's the patho, but here's what you do with it. There will always be practical application. And sometimes that's a little more nuanced because it may not be like, give this medication at this dose, in this route, in this time, et cetera. Like, you know, it may be a little more like, okay, this is what therapeutically this looks like. And let me model it for you. But like, holy moly, it makes me nuts. And any of you listening, pay attention next time you're at any of these classes or a lecture or a conference or a workshop or whatever. And how often people are like, here's the info. And you're like, I read that. Thanks. What do you want me to do with it? It makes me crazy.
Yeah. And I think that's honestly, that's one of the things I see when I'm being taught by like MDs versus nurses. I've noticed.
That's a really good point.
And I think like there was a conference recently that I didn't want to go to, and I didn't go to because it was all MD speakers. And mind you, I love MDs and I think they're super smart, but they don't always know how to tell me what to do as a nurse.
Well, why would they?
Right. Exactly.
Of course. Yeah, that's actually a very good point. If you're somebody that puts on a conference, that is something to pay attention to because the special – I mean, we went to a conference recently, you and I, and there was a pediatric Oh, she was amazing. And a pediatric nurse that was, she specialized in human trafficking and recognizing the signs of human trafficking. Mind you, she came from a pediatric background. So she's looking at like children and their like medical assessments and like what you would see and whatever. And like she's talking about the emergency department because, of course, that's her frame of reference. And I will say that as much as like I maybe didn't get as much practical out of that, it was so important for me to have awareness on the issue. So like, if that's the point, I want to be told that as somebody who's a learner, that like the point of this, all I want you to do is to, my goal is to create awareness around this issue. And then we're not going to get into practical steps, right? But knowing your audience of saying like, I did want to know, like, but in labor, it's different. And in OB, that's different. And like for a pregnant person, what would we see? And there was nothing discussed about that, which is totally fine because she was also talking to like postpartum, labor and NICU, but also I don't think that was the point in her case. And so I think even just being aware of what's the point and saying that if you're an educator out there, and second, that who's speaking to you and having a frame of reference for what it takes at, from your vantage point will change how you learn. And that's also where like even I think about physiologic birth, it's like the physiologic birth class is specifically for nurses. Mm-hmm. It's for intrapartum nurses that are carrying through the nursing lens, through the nursing scope, through the what, and mind you, we do have doulas there. We have doctors that come, we have midwives that come, obviously much less than nurses, but the class is taught from your vantage point. And so that's where I also think that like, how could a doctor teach on EFM for nursing? Because they're not doing, their role, their scope is different, right? That EFM, or I was going to say in ED, no one's doing EFM in the ED other than us. But like if we were taking into the ED, like a crash C-section in the emergency department, they do not need to know much. Mm-hmm. First of all, they need to know how to call for help. Same with like NICU. You'll hear me say this all the time where I'm like, just call the NICU. So I always had like a very good NICU to call where I'm like, I can get it started, but then like, please show up. And then please take over. Like, I'm done. Like, no more than 5 minutes. And so, you know, I'm not starting a line on a newborn. Like, what? No. So I think knowing your audience and also understanding that, like, that's what I love about bundle birth is, like, it's us nurses speaking to nurses from a nursing lens for the hospital setting. And while that may sort of, like, create a very specific niche. And I think that, yes, there are other specialties that can learn from it. I also think that that's something that like really sets us apart and that I'm really proud of and why it is important to me that anybody that is a nurse on our team is also functioning on the floor. And so I think as I haven't seen your class yet, but I saw your slides and I saw the outline and I'm really excited about it. I think always I'm going to say that like, let's talk practical. And if the point is that like, I want you to walk away understanding and knowing the terminology like the back of your hand, I want you to be able to call a doctor and say that you're concerned and have a script for that. Like that the more practical tips that we can give, the better. And that's where I think I want to make sure that that's always sort of the lens that bundle birth programs are functioning through. That's what you get through our entire mentorship program. That was where real talks come in. So we like, you learn that stuff. And then we like sat down, we're like, okay, but like, what does this mean for your practice all the way through mentorship? So I'm excited to see how that all comes together for you.
Yeah. I'm excited and nervous. It might be a one-time thing. No, I'm just kidding.
I hope not.
I really hope not. We have a vision to keep offering this. So if you're listening, I know we have people listening while in nursing school, like, no, I really want to take that like before I graduate. Like this will hopefully be around when you graduate. Mm-hmm. And because we want to support our newer to specialty, new nurses, nurses again, that just want like a refresher, nurses that are like, well, I have to start precepting, but I don't necessarily know the language. So this is me formally inviting you to come hang out with me on June 12th for my first ever online live class that I wrote. And if it goes terrible, don't tell me. And also smile while you're on the class. Send me little hearts. I wish it was like the Instagram live so they could just like heart every so often. Zoom should do that. That would be nice.
They have the heart that comes on the screen.
Put a heart on your screen. That would be really cute if everyone had hearts.
Or like a filter where like there's just a heart around you.
Yeah.
There's like cute filters.
Know that I'm nervous and dying inside, but excited to help anyone. I hope that people grasp onto what I'm trying to throw out there and it helps someone. It helps someone feel less lost on those crazy busy L&D units that we're just trying to make change on. So thanks for spending time with us during this episode of Happy Hour with Bundle Birth Nurses. If you like what you heard, it helps us both if you subscribe, rate, leave a raving review, and share this episode with a friend. If you want more from us, head to bundlebirthnurses.com or follow us on Instagram.
Now it's your time to go and do a little internal assessment on how confident you feel about basic fetal monitoring. There is no shame. You may have done this for 30 years, and if you can't and or you don't feel totally confident about your basics in EFM, come join us for class, and we'll both be there and be hanging out with you as we all continue to push into being better, not only for ourselves, but also for the families that we care for. We'll see you next time. Thank you.